Some of you act like you know that from experience. Has anybody in this building ever seen as much chaos and turmoil and strife and pressure and as many people carrying heavy loads and going through as much junk and stuff as the people of America, actually the world, are going through right now? Need I remind you that that is one of the signs of the time? Let me put it this way. This is what the word says. Take heed, lest you become entangled with the cares of life. We want to work like we have 1,000 years. But we want to live like Jesus is coming today. And I want you to know that everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. That's what the Word of God says. Can you be shaken? Be careful that there are many false prophets and false witnesses and a lot of people are going to be deceived. I want to tell you something. There's not another gospel except what's between the pages in that book. And oftentimes, well-meaning people are tricked and deceived. And let me just give you a word of warning. The devil is not going to come against you in such a way that it's very obvious that, hey, this is the devil. He's going to come at you in ways that are palatable and taste just enough like maybe the word wrongly applied out of context to. What happens is if you're not careful and if you're not in a relationship, and I'm not talking about just being saved, I'm talking about walking in a relationship with the Lord to where you have developed a hearing ear. Because you see, the word says that my sheep know my voice, and another they'll not follow. I want to admonish you tonight, body of Christ, to seek the Lord with all your heart. Search for him as a hidden treasure. You'll find him. That's his word. But you can't half-heartedly. You can't occasionally. You can't once in a while include him into your life and expect your life to be ordered by him. See, it's the steps of the good man or the steps of the righteous that are ordered of the Lord. And I don't know where this message is going right now. But I'm just going to tell you, the last couple of weeks, and I'm no exception, my life has been inundated with my own problems as well as the problems of many people that don't know whether to scratch or whine. They don't know if the sun's coming up or the sun's going down. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know what to do because their lives are being bombarded with issues and stuff. I'm here to admonish you tonight, body of Christ. Don't forget who we serve. The word says, is there anything too hard or difficult for my Lord? Do we really believe, or do we just lip service the words that says, I know my God can, and I know my God will? Is that lip service, or do you really believe that? I want you to know, He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. He wants us to be a people that doesn't turn to Him as a Santa Claus with our shopping list. He wants to be the Lord of our lives. Yes, He wants to be our friend and our Savior, but we need to allow Him to be Lord of our life. We need to be full of His Spirit, passionate about serving Him and worshiping Him and obeying Him and having our steps ordered by Him. Not ordering our own steps and then asking Him to bless it. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Matthew 28. You've been drinking out of my water? No. I really wanted to share with you out of Philippians tonight, but this afternoon the Lord began to deal with me about this passage. And it's more of an exhortation and an admonishment to you, the body, than a sermon that I'm preaching. I'm not going to see anything in what I'm about to read that you don't already know. But I want to put us in remembrance. I want to challenge us and help push us on down the road towards the goal that the Lord has set before us. I don't want us to become weary in our well-doing. I want us to keep persevering until we reap, because we don't faint. I want us to press for the prize. I want us to run hard for the finish line. I don't want us to weaken. I don't want us to fall on the 1 yard line. Truth of the matter is, and I don't know why I'm having such a hard time pressing through. There's some of you in this place tonight, you're on the verge of quitting. Don't you quit on the Lord. You've got one fight left to fight. That's the fight of faith. And the only way you will lose is if you quit fighting. I want you to know that sometimes it's that last punch of desperation that wins the fight. Don't you quit. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't be a quitter. I remember playing football at Woodlawn High School when we went out of the locker room on the field of practice every day. There was a sign over the door that said, a quitter never wins and a winner never quits. Duke and I were talking in the office this afternoon. He was sharing something with me. He says, I was never in the military. He says, you were. You may can confirm this to me, but when you're under fire, what's your best chance of survival? Attack. If you hunker down, they're going to pick you off. If you retreat, turn, and run, you're going to get shot where you don't want to. And the same thing in the spiritual sense. When the devil turns it up, you need to also. You know, the Lord has given us weaponry that so few of us are aware of, and even fewer than that, use. And I'm going to tell you what some of them are in just a minute. But I want to read Matthew chapter 28, and I'm going to start with verse 16. Now, this is right after Jesus has been crucified. It's Easter Sunday morning, where He's risen from the dead. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary go out to visit the grave, and And they discover that what's happened? He ain't there. So they run back to tell the disciples, and they encounter Jesus. And he told them, says, go tell my disciples to go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee and to the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Kind of sounds like the church nowadays, doesn't it? And Jesus came and he spake unto them, saying, and I'm saying this, don't you miss the words that we're about to read. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's all we really need to know. But we're going to go a little further. Verse 19, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Absolutely imperative that when you're in the heat of the battle, when you're under attack, when the devil seems to be throwing all the forces of hell at you, and he may be, when you feel like, and you come to a realization that your battle is not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, when you come to the realization that you can't do this on your own and that you need some help, guess what? He's there. And not only is he there, but he has all power. Not limited power, not some power, but all power. And he has said in his word that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. You hear me say all the time that he's not grown old, weak, feeble, and senile. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's got your best interest at heart. He's got your back. He will not allow anything to come your way that'll overtake you if you fight the fight of faith. The problem is, in America, and especially in the Church of America, we got a bunch of sissies. Nobody wants to fight. Not you, Glenn. But I'm telling you, God wants to raise up an army. And I'm not talking about some little old lightweight. I got to watch out. I won't be politically correct, and I know I'm on what you call it. But he's not wanting some lightweight, mamsy-pamsy, only when good times are that can I stand for God. No, he's looking for somebody that when the heat's turned up and the pressure's on, that you'll be the thermostat in the room, that you won't just be affected by the heat, that you'll change the atmosphere. You don't allow your surroundings to dictate your level of commitment to God. No, you dictate to the room how things go. Because I want you to know, like when Moses came down off of that mountain, it's possible for you to be so full of God that you can shine forth with the glory of God. And when those people looked at Moses, it said they could look at him and tell that he'd been in the presence of God. Now, have you been in your prayer closet? Have you been on your knees? Have you been talking to him? Or are you just using his name in vain? Are you just using his name in a joke? Listen, this battle of life, been referred to as the game of life, this walk of life, it's real and it's for keeps. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. I want you to know that hell is more than just a word that you use as a slang or in a joke. Hell is a literal place, and you don't want to go there. Country song said, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Come on there, Janice, and sing it with me. You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You ever done that? Sung that? I have. Don't remember half the words. I just make them all up and time, you know, I'll be singing four or five different songs, you know, just different words. Glenn will look at me and say, that's not what it says. I said, but I'm saying it. You know, how about in life, you ever get there, I got both ends meeting in the middle, I can't seem to get them tied? Been there. How about the song said, tonight the bottle let me down, and let your memory come around. The one true friend I thought I'd found. Tonight the bottle let me down. Woo! You know what? Some of y'all act like y'all know what I'm talking about. I remember the days of waking up and not knowing where I was at or how I got there or who I was with. And I don't want to glorify that, and I don't want to idolize that, or I'd still be doing it. I want you to know this. Walking with the Lord is the greatest thing I've ever done in my life. I wish I'd have done it earlier. I wish I'd have quit running from Him and ran to Him a whole lot sooner than I did. I have found that He can bail me out of situations that you just, all you can do is go, wow. Come on, Bodie, say amen. You know what I'm talking about. I ought to tell a story on you right about now, but I won't. I know in my spirit, Pastor Crosby's here tonight, he knows what I'm talking about. You sense and you know in your spirit, you may not know the who's and the details. Life's tough. Just like Peter sang the song a while ago, that, you know, through the fire. He never promised that it'd be easy. This ain't in the song, but it's worth the fight. It's worth the fight. Now, as you go through this journey, as you go through this life, I want you to remember that first and foremost, the Lord Jesus has all the power that's needed. All the power that's needed. He has all authority, all power. Secondly, we see in verse 19, where he's given us a commission. This is called the Great Commission. He's called us and told us, instructed us to go forth, to go out into the world, to be a light that shines, to reach the lost, to make disciples, to teach them what God's Word says. And I want you to know something. People ain't going to hear a word you say if you're not living it. You understand what I'm saying? People had rather see a sermon than hear one. And if you're not living the life, shut up. Quit talking the talk. Because you know what? You become a hypocrite. Now, I had a cowboy tell me one time, he said, "Preacher, I ain't going down there to church no more." True story, so help me. Duke knows it. I said, "Really, why not?" He said, "Ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites down there." I said, "Well, now, I disagree with you." I said, "Now, there's some hypocrites down there, I guarantee you." I said, "But there's some real, real folk down there, too." I said, "But besides that, how do you know there's some hypocrites down there?" And he said, "Well, because I see them down at the bar." And I said, "Well, if they're a hypocrite up at the church, they're a hypocrite down at the bar. Why don't you quit going down there?" He said, "True story." He says, "Well, I hadn't really thought about that." I said, "Well, won't you give that some thought?" Don't be a person that the Word describes this way, having sweet and bitter water pursuing out of your mouth. Am I saying you have to live a perfect life? I don't think there's anybody in here that can. But I know this much. If you'll be honest with yourself, and honest with God, you know if you're putting forth the effort to serve the Lord. You know if you're putting forth the effort to learn His voice and to obey His voice and to study His Word, to impart the Word into your life. You know if you're putting forth the effort. I'm just talking to you tonight. I realize that, but I'm trying to be down to earth, real, and honest with you to let you know that something is expected of you. Salvation is free, and it's complete And it's total. But you know, it's all dependent upon you receiving it. You see, it starts with you doing what something also. God has paid the price. He set forth the menu, so to speak. But we've got to be a people that steps up to the plate. We got to look in that mirror and say, you know what, sucker? You need to make some changes. And with God's help, He will help you be able to go out there and live the life that will affect others. And thirdly, and then I'm going to close, we got to realize that in verse 20, He has promised us His presence that would go with us all the way to the end of the earth. I want you to know, when you're in circumstances and situations and you feel alone, you're not. He's there. I want to talk to you very quickly, and it's not limited to these, but we talked about His power a while ago and some of the things that He's given us as offensive weapons that you possibly hadn't thought about is His love. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love will repel hate and anger. You see, we can, as the old saying goes, kill them with kindness. We love our enemies, pray for our enemies, do good unto them that do us evil and wrong and harm. There's power in His blood. There's power to cleanse us of our sins. Just one drop of Jesus' blood can wash your sins away. There's power in His Word. His Word is what builds faith in you so that you become a man or a woman of faith that can dare to stand against the Goliaths in your life, that can dare to go out and defeat what has come against you. It builds your faith and it gives you instruction. He's given us His name. And I believe that this is one of the least used offensive weapons in Christianity. When He tells us to pray in His name, that means to speak the name, Jesus. Because the demons tremble at the sound of that name. There's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. No other books, no other topic that where more books have been written upon than Jesus. No other topics upon which more songs have been written about than Jesus. There's something about that name that not only demons tremble, but it invokes peace in the situation. Jesus. Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. So I want to try to teach you tonight, when you pray, don't say, "We ask this in Your name," and move on. Say, "We ask this in the name of Jesus." Invoke the name. Now, does the Lord hear you when we say we ask You this in Your name? Yes, He does. He certainly does. But see, the devil can't read your mind. He's not omnipotent. It's important that you let the devil hear you use the name of Jesus. I want you to know, well, y'all know how I feel about Jesus. Then He's given us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I realize that man and denomination and doctrine has, like so many things, misapplied, misused, gotten in the flesh, and made a show and mockery out of a lot of things. But I want you to know this. The Holy Spirit is not to be feared. The Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, same thing. Don't be afraid when you hear somebody talk about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. I want you to know the Trinity is what? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Why be afraid of the Holy Spirit? If the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It's going to quicken your mortal body. It's going to make you alive. It's going to give you power. It's going to prepare you for the task at hand. In fact, the Word says this of the Holy Spirit. It says that the Holy Spirit is the teacher that will lead, guide, and direct you into all truth. It will teach you all things. We need good teaching from the pulpit. We need good preaching from the pulpit. We need good teaching in our Sunday school classes and in our Bible studies. But I want to tell you something right now, if you've never experienced it, there's absolutely nothing like having a revelation moment when you're immersed into the Word of God and the Holy Spirit causes a light to come on and you see something in that Word that you go, how could I have been so stupid to not see that before? I'll close with this. They asked Peter the question. Jesus asked Peter the question. He said, Peter, who do men say that I am? See if this doesn't sound like the church. He said, well, some say Jonas or Elias. Others say you're one of the prophets. Jesus said, well, who do you say I am, Peter? Very important. Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What's Jesus' response to that? He said, you're a blessed man, Peter. Because flesh and blood, Sunday school's good, church is good, but you didn't learn this in Sunday school. You didn't learn this in church. You didn't learn this in a Bible study. All that's good, and we're going to learn things there. He said, but you're a blessed man because flesh and blood hadn't taught you this. But my Spirit has revealed it unto you, and upon this rock I will build my church. What rock? The rock of revelation. The rock of all of a sudden a light coming on. All of a sudden being able to see through the darkness and see the light of God. All of a sudden in the spirit realm as he breathes instruction to you, forms convictions in you. You see, you need to have convictions that are formed by the Spirit of God, not traditions of men. Now, some of the traditions of men's convictions, they're right on, but you need convictions that come from the Spirit of God. And that means to-dos and not-to-dos, not just the to-not-to-dos, the to-not-to-dos, the to-not-to-dos. Is that a word? It is now. So I just want to challenge you and admonish you and encourage you, body of Christ, tonight. Stay in the fight. Don't forget who you serve. Don't forget who you are in Christ. But more importantly, don't forget who the Christ is that's in you. He's the hope of glory. He's the reason that there's no weapon that's formed against you that can prosper if you do your part. Would you bow your head and I'm going to close. Maybe you're in this place tonight and you say, Dennis, that's me. I'm in that battle. I've really been struggling and you really nailed it on the head a while ago when you said that I was about ready to give up. That's me. Can I see your hand? If that's you, would you just put it up? Yes. Yes. Many hands going up. Maybe you're in this place and you say, Dennis, I'm like blind Bartimaeus. And that I've heard about this Jesus, and I've heard about this Jesus, and I've heard about his love, and I've heard about his forgiveness, and I've heard about his power, and I've heard about his peace and all those other things, but I've never called out to him. Tonight I'd like to ask him to forgive me of my sins and become my Savior and my Lord. If you've never done that and you'd like to do that tonight, could I see your hand? Anyone? Anywhere? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anyone else? Very quickly, in the balcony. Anyone? Anywhere? Get it up. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. It's between you and God. Thank you, ma'am. There's four. Who'll be five? Anyone else? I'm not going to. If begging will do it, I'll beg. But you see, this is a decision that you have to make. God's word says, I set before you life and death. Choose life. It's a decision that you must make. And I'm asking you now, and I'm giving you opportunity. Anyone else before I move on? Because I feel like the Lord's had me wait just a second. Anyone else that say, Dennis, that's me. Slip it up. Thank you, ma'am. All right, look up here at me. Sometimes we have people come forward. Sometimes we don't. I want you to know that you can be saved in a jail cell. You can be saved in a barn, out on the highway driving down the road. You can be saved sitting in the seat that you're sitting in right now. The prerequisites to salvation is this: having a realization and accepting the fact and believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that left deity and came to this earth, lived a sinless life, and voluntarily laid his life on a cross and died, shed pure blood to redeem sinful man. He didn't stay dead. He walks out of a grave 3 days later on Easter Sunday morning, and he's alive today. The word says that he's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. We believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Our sins are cleansed. We become adopted into the kingdom of God. We become one of his children. But my prayers can't save you. No one else's can. You must ask. You must believe. And then you will receive the gift of life. So with that knowledge, would you bow your head and going to lead us in a prayer in case you don't know how to pray. And it's not the words so much, it's the heart, the condition of the heart. Would you pray with me right now? Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I completely believe with all of my heart that you're God's Son and you love me. You came to earth and died in my place so that you could give me life. I also believe that you didn't stay dead. You walked out of a grave with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And I ask you now, Lord, to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with your blood, to come into my life, and to be my Savior. Lord, help me to learn your voice. Help me to learn your word. Help me, Lord, to be sensitive to your spirit so that I can live an overcoming life and bring pleasure to you and glory to you in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, you saw many other people that raised their hands tonight that say it indicative of being in battle and struggle. God, I just want to encourage them tonight to not throw in the towel, to not quit, to remember the God whom they serve and the Lord whom they've pledged their loyalty, but more importantly, that he's pledged to be loyal to them. He will not fail them. He will not forsake them. That he's going to go with them through, and I mean through, whatever it is they're going through. He's going to bring them out on the other side with a spring in their step and a song of praise upon their lips. Lord, according to your word, we bind the strong man. We take authority and dominion over that strong man, the devil, in the name of Jesus. If he's on an assignment to destroy a marriage, we cancel that assignment. We ask, Lord, that you would arrive on the scene and that, Lord, you would speak peace into their hearts, into their homes. Lord, if they're battling with the sins of the past and the man that they used to be, we just remind them, Lord, that your word says that they are the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Lord, help us to embrace and to walk in your word. Help us to recognize that the devil is the accuser of the brethren, that he's come to torment, that he's on a mission to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Lord, that you've come to give us life right here and right now, as well as eternally. So God, I pray that you would glorify yourself in the midst of your people. We call on your name. We believe you to show us great and mighty things. Give wisdom where it's needed, Lord. Finances where it's needed. Help us to be better stewards of what you've already given us, Lord, and help us to not be wasteful. Lord, help us to bring honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray.